Amen. All right, could we stand for prayer? Father, we do love you. Lord, how we love the Christian life. Lord, all the joys and sometimes sorrows that go with it, Lord. We thank you this morning. Thank you for our dear brother and sister, Jeremy and Paige. And Lord, we will miss them. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these privileges of sending forth laborers into your harvest. Lord, it's such a blessing to see you call your people, your children, into the harvest fields of the world, and yea, right here in the States, Lord. We bless you for that. And so, Father, now we pray, Lord, we pray for this part of the service. We ask you, Lord, I ask you for grace to feed your people, to feed these sheep, Lord. Lord, that we can be edified together and built up in the faith. And Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And Father, I ask you to make my lips and my heart an oracle to these your people. Lord, I thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart, and I ask you, Lord, for your grace as I endeavor to bring it forth. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Oh, isn't the Christian life a joy? Praise the Lord. I think I shared that the last time I was up here. I have found more joy in my Christian life in the last 6 months or so, last half year, than I ever had before. Just joy in ministry and joy in Christ and joy in just joy unspeakable sometimes. And I have just found tremendous joy in my walk with the Lord. Well, as you remember, maybe some of you remember, the last time I shared that I may be going through a series of messages, and more specifically on the home. The last message I preached was the incense altar, the showbread, and the candlestick, showing us the need of God's presence in our homes, the need of God being present in our very lives. And the need of the Word of God being in our hearts that we can give it. We can give it out to our families. And the candlestick being the good works. You know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so this morning I'd like to go through the second one of those of this series, which I believe the Lord is laying on my heart. I'm just kind of taking a step at a time here. As to what I believe God has shared with me in regards to the home. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 7. Chapter 3 verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, or your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'd like to preach a message on marriage this morning. In the marriages of our home, the husband and wife relationships that we're to have, it says here we're to be heirs together of the grace of life. And this is a message maybe you young men and young women, young ladies think, well, I'm not married yet, but it's coming. In fact, this week I think one just courtship just began. I heard it on the church cleaning evening. God bless you, brother. So, amen. But being heirs together of the grace of life, I'd like to preach on being a husband and wife team, on being a team as you work together in your home, as you work together in giving direction, as you work together in blessing your children and those under your care. But I more specifically like to speak this morning just to you husbands and wives, and more specifically to you husbands. Here it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And I believe we husbands sometimes fail to lead out in our homes in regards to our marriages. And that's what I'd like to share on more specifically this morning, is on our marriages, speaking more directly to the husbands. The title of the message is The Marriage Team, Priscilla and Aquila.
The marriage team, Priscilla and Aquila. You know, Priscilla and Aquila, they had Paul in when he was at Ephesus. No, when he was at Corinth, he was from Mars Hill there in Athens. He went to Ephesus, and that's where he found, I mean, Corinth, and that's where he found Aquila and Priscilla, and they were tent makers, and so Paul was a tent maker as well. And perhaps that's how the connection came about. I don't know, but Paul seemed to have connected with them in a very real way there at Corinth. And so much so that when it was time to leave, he wanted to take them along to Ephesus. And they followed him. Went right with him to Ephesus, to the church there. And I'll come back later and elaborate a little bit more on their ministry there in Ephesus. But in the beginning here, it says in Acts 18 that with him went Priscilla and Aquila. You know, he interchanges those names. He uses, he says at times he begins with Priscilla when he mentions their names. Other times he says Aquila. In 1 Corinthians 16 it says, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Romans 16 it says, greet, here he starts with Priscilla. And that's the title of my message is, the marriage team, Priscilla and Aquila. Because I want to put value in us husbands concerning our dear wives. But anyway, in Romans 16 it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So what I see with Aquila and Priscilla, they were their lives were so intertwined into each other, it didn't really matter to Paul whose name he used first. They were so intertwined into each other. So wrapped up in each other and ministering with each other. They were a team. They were simply a marriage team working together for the glory of God and His kingdom. So what does it take in our marriages to be thus intertwined into each other, heirs together of the grace of life? What does that take? What does it mean to be heirs together of the grace? To enjoy each other as a team and just feeling that we're together. We're together enjoying the grace of life. We're enjoying all the enjoyment of that life gives and what God has endowed upon us. We're enjoying it together. We're experiencing being heirs together of the grace of life. How is it in your marriage? How's a marriage kept at a place where each feels of equal importance? That's what I see Paul doing there with Priscilla and Aquila. He put them in a place of equal importance. They were equally important to him. And so he just interchanged the names as he brought out their names at times. Anyway, our marriages are intended, and we experience the joys and sorrows of life together. So again, what does it mean to be a marriage team? And that's what I'd like to share on this morning. What does it mean to be a marriage team? What does it mean to be so intertwined into each other that we experience teamwork? We experience that feeling and sensing that we're a team. We're simply a team working together in regards to our families, in regards to our ministries, in regards to our relationship with each other. Hebrews 13:16 brings us the first element of a marriage relationship that is of great necessity. That is what? Anyone guess? Love. Amen. That's very important. Let me read this verse in 13, verse 16. Says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I'd like to start this morning with communication or time. The importance of communication in our marriages. You know, verse 15 says, it says here in verse 15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifices of God to sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And And God's heart is, in the Word here, in the Scripture, you know, that our lips are bringing forth praise to the Lord. And that's an offering in itself that is pleasing to the Lord. But then, in verse 16, it says, "But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is what? Well pleased." I like that. He even puts a greater emphasis on this sacrifice, seemingly, than the first one. So I just want to let that grip our hearts this morning. Communication is so important in our marriages. Taking time to communicate. It takes time. Sometimes it takes energy. You know, when Barb and I got married, we were a little older, and we were soon in the thick of it. You know, we were very involved. She was 30 and I was 27, and we were involved before we got married, and so we were soon kind of in the thick of continuing on in ministry and so forth. And I think, you know, maybe we missed some of the opportunities to get to know each other during that first year of our marriage. You know, it says, I think we all know this verse in Deuteronomy, "When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." So husbands, you know, we see the principle here of cheering up our wives, of encouraging our wives. That should be an ongoing process. It was just simply in the book of Deuteronomy inserted that husbands purposefully focus that first year. But it should be an ongoing process, an ongoing outflow and outworking in our hearts in regards to our marriages. That there is communication, that there is cheer, that there is encouragement, that there is that there's time, and we take time to keep our wife up to speed. We keep her abreast in our visions, in our dreams, in our desires for our homes or in our ministries. It takes time to communicate the heart. You know, I think some of the reason. I still remember when we got married, there were things that, you know, I just didn't understand about my wife. I hope you don't mind, Barb. I share a few things here. But anyway, she didn't know I'm having this message this morning, but I trust you'll stay settled. Anyway, But anyway, in our marriage, you know, my wife is very detailed, and when we got married, I just couldn't sometimes understand her. And I still remember soon after we were married, I had a job at a roofing company, and I would go off to work, and she had this, every spring, she had this idea that the whole yard needed to be raked, you know, getting out all the debris and all the little leaves that were still there from the fall, And I'd come home and she still wasn't done. My, this is just too much detail. And she has learned since, but but anyway, but you know, I didn't understand my wife and the detail of her mentality, which has, by the way, has come to bless me in many, many ways. Many ways, and I'd just like to bring some of that out here as we go along. But I was a husband who was seemed like in my. She used to say, you know, Mel, you have smoker blood in you. My generation back, my dad is an ash, but my grandmother was a smoker, and they were known to really just kind of be, how should I say, the German word is schludgery. You know, they were known just to kind of do things quickly and get the job done and not be detailed, you know, and things would fly. And she used to say, "Mel, that smoker blood is flowing. Just slow down." But anyway, in our marriage, I began to realize that the value of communication, and I can honestly say we've had a good marriage, but there's times when, because of lack of communication, lack of taking time, lack of understanding her, that, you know, little frictions, just those little frictions, you know, began to grow in my heart, and I began to, you know, almost resent who she was. And you know, that's the last 6 months, I would say again, this has been a time of rejuvenation for our marriage, and thank you again, congregation, for allowing me to have a ministry break. It's just been a tremendous time in our marriage. Just, I've come to value her advice in a new way. I've come to value the communication that we have between each other. The opinions that she has, I take into strong consideration. I've learned in life, I've learned through the years, especially I think the last 6 months, God has been really getting that deeper into my heart. You know, that I tend to make many mistakes if I don't value and consider her counsel. And I've come to hear her and hear her well. And I must say, it's come down to where sometimes minor decisions, I just confer with her. And we, by the grace of God, are working on one page. I mean, we're just enjoying teamwork in a way that I haven't experienced before. Just a tremendous team that I feel in my heart, and I think she can say the same. And you know, I've also noticed that as I consider her, as she knows her opinions are valuable and of value, and I love her counsel, and I, you know, sit down and take time to hear her out, she's not as frustrated. For some reason, there's not those frustrations are coming forth in her heart that sometimes were there. Again, I give God all the glory, these last 6 months, there's been very little friction. There's been very little irritation. There's been very little contention or strife. I'd just like to say to us husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, I see Christ with His disciples there. He took time with them. I mean, He could have gone off to ministry all by Himself and said, well, I'm just going to leave you behind back here and I'll come and report every now and then how things are going. But He interacted with them. I believe that's what it means there, where Christ loved the church. Part of it. He communicated. He loved them. He brought them along. He kept them up to speed with what was happening in His ministry and yes, He spoke into their lives as well. But they were a team. I believe the disciples felt very much at one with Christ in His ministry. He just brought them along. And that's our responsibility with our wives. It says here that we have the responsibility to present to ourselves a radiant wife, a wife without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So that's why, and you know, Christ, He gave Himself for His disciples, He gave Himself for the church to the extent that He, you know, He loved her and He gave Himself for her even until death. Gave Himself to His disciples even until death. And husbands, that's our calling, to give ourselves to our wives for them. He loved His disciples in word and deed. You know, I've come to realize a principle in a new way too, that give and it shall be given unto you. You know, as I give to my wife, as I deposit into her life, into our marriage, it just turns around to bless me. I can honestly say that. It's just been a new, renewed blessing in our marriage. Just as I give and I give and I hear and we work together as a team, it just comes back to bless me. Pressed down, full of measure and running over. I mean, it's just that simple. So love her husband, cherish her, make her feel valued. Let her know that she's an equal part of the team, even placing her before yourself as Paul did with Priscilla. Sometimes putting her name before Aquila's. Like I said, you know, I still remember another experience that we had, you know, and working together where I just felt, you know, I felt like, and that's where we need to learn communication. Just simply understanding each other. When we first got married, we had this finished out our basement ourselves, and so we were putting on the paneling, and I was putting on the trim, and you know, and I'm not used to carpentry work, but I've done roofing, and so you know, I would just kind of slap the trim on, and this was not sufficient. I mean, this was not good enough for her. You know, it was, I think I used to put the trim pieces power to come down to the ground at the door frames, right? Or how is that? Yeah, well, I used to put the base trim over to the edge of the door frame, you know, put the other trim down to the base trim. I mean, that's just, Barb, come on, Mel. We want to make this look right. And, well, I wanted to get it done. That was my picture. But again, we weren't communicating, and I just didn't understand this. I say this woman who I married. I mean, it was just, you know, she was so detailed, I just have come to be tremendously blessed with her detail and her. As many of you know, she has very creative ways, and a lot of that involves detail, and she's detailed in our marriage and when it comes to ministry as well, and when it comes to our home. And I have come to value that in a tremendously new way, just with the way that it's been working itself out in our marriage as I've heard her detail. And through it, I don't make the mistakes anymore that I used to. it's just such a joy to see how teamwork just works itself out. Making decisions without conferring with her first. Neglecting detail that she felt should be heeded. Then irritation often sets in. You know, when we don't confer, we kind of push her opinion aside. And then when it comes around to her speaking her voice, well, we just kind of, that voice becomes irritating to us because, well, we look at her through a wrong light. Through eyes that feel like, you know, she's just, her opinion doesn't really matter. I don't think she's right in the way she views things. So through many mistakes I've made and God's loving dealings with me, I've come to value and cherish my wife. Input, her counsel, her advice. I've learned to hear her, like I shared earlier, and hear her well. Through it, we've become a strong team. I say that to the glory of God. We've become a strong team. There's mutual love. There's appreciation. There's consideration. All of that, I can honestly say, is in our marriage in a new, in a renewed way. You know the word helpmeet? Does anyone know what the word helpmeet, the Greek meaning of the word helpmeet? Jeff? Hebrew, yes. You know the meaning? That's right. The Hebrew word for helpmeet is to surround. In other words, your helpmeet surrounds you. It's to protect or aid, to succor or comfort. That's the meaning of the word helpmeet, to surround, to protect or aid. Your wife is actually a protection to you, men. She aids you with her counsel and advice. There's a protection there as you hear her, as you consider her and value her input and counsel. Husbands, let's make our wives radiate with joy. Let's make them feel an equal part of the team. Let's carry each other's burdens. Let's communicate so that there's clear understanding between us as a team. A team only functions well when there's mutual understanding. And we know that in a ball team, in a football team, or a baseball team, you know, sometimes there's a huddle. Sometimes they huddle so that they can clear up any matters or just understand each other where, you know, maybe there's a certain dynamic taking place on the team that there's understanding needed, or maybe they're kind of losing the game and they need to re-strategize. And so they huddle. Any team, there needs to be solid communication. There needs to be hearing each other, especially from our coach, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We need to be tuned into the coach, most of all. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And that includes Christ as a primary one in our teamwork together. Let's not allow the little foxes to spoil the vine. Let's let the boundless love of Christ flow into the hearts of our wives and into each other. The boundless love of Christ. We've been singing that song a few times in our home. I love that song. You know, forget exactly how it goes. Boundless love of... Forget boundless love. So much... But it's the boundless love of Christ. You know, it has no bounds as we give it. I love that. It has absolutely no bounds. We can give and give of that love of Christ to our dear wives. Okay, I'd like to just turn a corner here a little. The marriage team in regards to ministry. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one here. 1 minute. Yes, here it is. The marriage team, Aquila and Priscilla, in regards to ministry. I'd like to get into that aspect of our homes, first of all, and then maybe other ministries that God has given to us. How do we work and flow together as a team? If you want to, you can turn your Bibles to Acts 18. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, as they were there at Ephesus, a certain man came into Ephesus by the name of Apollos. And as Apollos came in there, he was a fervent man in spirit. He knew the ways of the Lord. And it says, being fervent in spirit, he taught the people diligently. But he only knew the baptism of John. And he was teaching very diligently, so much that he was bold enough to go into the synagogue, and there he was preaching and sharing the scriptures. And when Aquila and Priscilla realized what was taking place, I get a picture. They were just tremendously blessed with this man, this brother in Christ. But he needed some direction in what was being given, and the gospel that he was sharing. So they just simply took him aside. And it says they ministered to him, both of them, again, working as a team. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It says here, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren, it appears like after Aquila and Priscilla realized that this is they shared with him the way of God more perfectly, and he became solidified in realizing what the gospel was all about. They decided, hey, he's ready to go preach in regions beyond. And so they disposed of him. It says, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which has believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we see here that this man, Apollos, was mightily used of God. He was tremendously used of the Lord in the regions of Achaia. But I believe that it was the reason, part of the reason that he was so mightily used of God was the ministry and the input that Aquila and Priscilla had put into his life. As they worked together as a team, they deposited into Apollos' life. And they directed him into the way of God more perfectly. Now this man was ready. He was ready to be a teacher and a preacher of the gospel. It says the disciples, when they heard the brethren in Achaia, in that region, he helped them much which had believed. And I don't know, the next verse says that he mightily convinced the Jews. I'm not sure if those are the unconverted ones, but it seemed like he mightily convinced them, and that publicly. He mightily convinced those Jews that Christ was the Messiah. He was used in a tremendous way, but it was through the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla that this man was used in the way he was. I'd like to turn our Bibles now to St. John chapter 17, show us a few dynamics of our marriage teams together. Let's start reading verse 20. Chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone,
but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, when I read this scripture not too long ago, I realized for the first time that we want the glory of Christ in our marriages, in our homes, in our churches. We want the glory of Christ to be manifested. Amen? That's where we're at. Jesus says here, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Christ is bringing out here that if you want my glory to be manifested, there must be oneness. There must be unity. There must be a oneness. There must be teamwork. And that's what I see here, is the glory. This is how the world sees. This is how the glory of Christ is manifested. How does it say in another scripture? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. And here in St. John, it's just it's clear here that the glory of Christ is manifested through oneness. It's where it's manifested. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one. And that's where, and then even in the next verse, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And again, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And I'd like to bring it right down to our homes. Do your children see the glory of Christ in your lives as parents? Do they see the glory of Christ? Is there oneness in your marriage? Do they see unity? Do they see teamwork? By this, it says, the world may know, and I believe our children know. By this, our children will know that Christ has love. Christ's love is upon my parents, and I want that love also. By this, your children will know that Christ was truly sent into the world to redeem humanity from sin and to give us an abundant life. As there's oneness in the marriage, by this, Christ is manifested. The glory of Christ is manifested. The fullness of Christ. Oh, that our children can see that. That our children can see that mom and dad's marriage is different from those in the world. Their dad's and mom's marriage is free. They look on and see that your marriage is free from the bickering and strife and contention that they see in the marriages of this world. They see mom and dad as a team, an Aquila and Priscilla team. There's interaction. There's interwovenness. There's a deep love. There's a bond of love that is inseparable. Friction is, the marriage is void of friction, of strife, of the little foxes that spoil the vines, of irritations. Or if there is, if there is a wrong committed, there's quickly an apology made and given, and the marriage continues on in its fullness of unity. Dad and mom, Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla and Aquila, just a team interwoven into each other. We can't separate them. They're just simply a team, a marriage team. I heard a testimony of one young man who, when he received discipline or consequences in his life, he said that, and he grew up in a very godly home. The children are walking with the Lord. But he said, when I was a young man and I would receive a consequence, let's say dad gave me a consequence, just shared with me that, son, you're going to be disciplined for this. And let's say there was a little disagreement in mom's heart. He said, I would have rather received the discipline than to see that friction in my parents. Let us be a marriage team in the ministry of our homes. Dad leading out, but communicating with his wife. The wife sharing her heart with her husband and then gladly submitting to his direction. Yes, wives, there's that need of submission. But husbands, hear out your wives. Communicate with them. Share with them. Let them know where you're at in your visions and dreams. That understanding. Let there be understanding and mutual teamwork as a marriage team. Oh, that our children may truly see that Jesus Christ is in your lives, in our marriages, through the love that is between each other as husband and wife. Even as the Father's love was upon Christ, and they were inseparable. There was an inseparability between Christ and His Father. We all know that. So Christ desires that element to be in our marriages, that oneness and unity of the Spirit. Okay, let's go on to ministry. The marriage team in regards to ministry. Maybe some of you have ministries that you're involved in outside of your home. Maybe you have some kind of ministry focus, and that's a tremendous blessing if you're at that place as a family. You know, it's such a joy and blessing again to work together as a marriage team in regards to ministry. And I've found that a tremendous blessing. I know my wife and I don't have children, so it's maybe a little different in that respect. But I have found it a tremendous blessing to just observe my wife in ministry and to work together again as a team and to confer and communicate with each other. You know, we have a little men's discipleship class going about every 2 weeks. And I just love her, watching her when that time comes up. I mean, she's as excited as I am. She can't wait to make the meal for these men. And there's usually half a dozen or show up, and half a dozen or so, and I can't really wait to share what's on my heart. And the evening is just filled with vibrancy. I mean, we usually spend a whole hour for supper, just as we share and chat and just interact back and forth with each other. I mean, I find half of the joy just in the mealtime that she's prepared, and just in our interaction between each other there at the supper table. And so we work together as a team. There's teamwork as we have these men in our home. You know, we go down to Tennessee at times, and she has sisters' meetings. I do a lot of preaching. My wife involves herself in counseling, both, you know, not just down there, but I find, you know, again, I find so much fulfillment in working together. I still remember in Africa, when we were in Africa 10 some years ago, you know, she had a little Band-Aid ministry in the morning, and all these little children would come early at times and wait in line till, you know, till 8 o'clock was the set time that she would begin to bandage their wounds and redress their sores from the day before. And it was just, I just felt like, you know, there was just such joy in my heart as I observed her and watched her in that ministry. She was fulfilled. And, you know, there was aspects of the ministry that I just there was aspects of that ministry that just blessed me as I observed her and watched her interact with these children and sometimes adults. And we worked together as a team. There was teamwork. Yes, I was involved in a lot of the spiritual aspect of it. So remember my wife one day. She was definitely a Priscilla this time. I still remember toward the end of our time there was this demon-possessed woman. And I mean, she was demon-possessed. She spoke, you know, she was half crazy. And we were trying to deal with her, along with the church brethren. I simply got fatigued. And this woman was, finally, she went into the bedroom there, and Barb stayed right with her. I mean, she was with her, right into the bedroom, and she kept rebuking those evil spirits. And I still remember one time she was standing on the bed with a woman laying there on the bed, and she was just doing spiritual warfare. And, you know, again, that's teamwork. I was just simply spent, and she kicked in. And it was, we worked together as a team.
in bringing that and ministering to that woman.
Again, communication goes such a long way. You know, keep each other up, husbands, keep each other up to speed with the day's happenings, with the ministries, with your, you know, with the day's events in ministry. You know, often I come home after a brother's meeting and she'll want to know what was the meeting all about. And sometimes I'm too tired. I'll just share with her, well, please, can we wait till tomorrow? and then, you know, then we agree together to wait until our morning time together. But it's so important in just simply sharing together the happenings of the day, what took place in the ministry, whether it's in your home or whether it's some other outreach that God has given you as a marriage team. That you're at a place where you're communicating and sharing together, keeping each other abreast. And there's just that flow continues, that, you know, that flow of teamwork continues on in your marriage, in your ministry. Okay, I'd like to get to the last aspect of ministry, or the last important aspect of our marriages that can be worked out in both our homes and ministries. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I'd like to read about three verses here, starting in verse 18. Matthew 18, verse 18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Last aspect I'd like to bring out is prayer. Both in our homes and ministries, as a marriage team, there needs to be prayer. And I love how Christ brings it down here. He just simply, you know, the example here being given, or the what Christ is bringing forth here, is the church binding together, knitting hearts together for a cause. It says here that the church has the power to bind or loose. But then look at the next verse. It says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And I just like to encourage us in this matter of prayer. Again, the first verse I read was that we be heirs together of the grace of life, that our prayers be not hindered. And it's important that as husbands and wives, that we're a marriage team. That we're bonded, that there's a bond between us. That we're a team. And that we're at a place of being able to agree together, even the two of us. It says here that if two of you shall agree together, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree together. Isn't that a blessing? He brings it right down to where it's attainable in our marriages. To where we can knit our hearts together for a cause in our homes or in our ministries. Where we can knit our hearts together. And again, like I shared earlier, the altar of incense is so important that we're living in the presence of God. We as a married couple are living under the umbrella of the presence of God in our homes, because without the presence of God, we tend to just go through the motions. And that's what I found as I, in a deeper way, am dwelling in the presence of God. I mean, the Word of God is just in a deeper way in my heart, where I'm able to give it to my family. And the spirit of prayer just flows out of my dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And it's in the presence of the Lord where mountains flow down. It says in Isaiah, the mountains shall flow down at thy presence. In Psalms it says the hills shall melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. And as we as marriage teams, as husbands, as we consider our wives, and we're experiencing that joy of being heirs together of the grace of life. There's that oneness. There's that unity of the Spirit. The glory of Christ is being exuded and manifested. We're also then at a place of oneness. where we can agree together in where we can agree together in prayer. In regards to aspect of our home where there's needs, where there's hills or even mountains. Praise the Lord, the mountains shall flow down at Thy presence. As we as husbands and wives live under the presence of the Lord, even mountains can be dissolved and be cast into the sea by faith. Call upon Me. I think of that scripture in Jeremiah. Call upon Me and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Maybe there's dreams and visions that you have and you're thinking to yourself, like Jeff shared this morning, you know, he has a dream and a vision for his home. As husbands and wives, call upon the Lord. Call upon His name. He's able to do it even exceeding abundantly above all, especially as there is agreement in your hearts as a marriage team. There's agreement. You're agreeing together. There's that bond of oneness. Now as you enter into prayer, I mean, the sky's the limit. You know, it says, whatsoever, you show as you agree together, it says, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of their Father which is in heaven. So I want to give us that encouragement this morning. So I close here. Let us be heirs together, husbands, wives. Let us be heirs together of the grace of life. Not apart, together. Of the grace of life, of the enjoyments that life affords, of the ministry opportunities, of ministry, of the joys of your home and seeking to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that you're heirs together of this grace of life. Heirs together. Take time with each other, making sure that there is no corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouth. Husbands, and that goes for the wives as well, that there's no corrupt. It says that in Ephesians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edify. Let what proceeds out of your mouth to your spouse be that which is good to the use of building her up. Let's have the prayer of David upon our heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart towards my spouse be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength. I see David saying, I need Your strength for this one. I need Your strength and I need You to redeem me from evil. I have temptations to irritation and to frustration. But, O Lord, the desire of my heart is that the words of my mouth and the meditations that are in my heart, that they're acceptable in Thy sight. Lord, You're able to give me that strength alone. You alone are able. You are alone able to redeem me like the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from evil. You alone are able to deliver me from those evil temptations to strife and contention and friction and irritation, those things that tend to get between us, little wedges, little foxes that get into the marriage and spoil the vine. May our words be sweet as honey in the honeycomb. And may we experience the oneness in our marriages that Psalms 133 brings out. It says, their God commands the blessing, where there's unity. Their God commands the blessing, even life forevermore. Where there's unity in the marriage, I believe it extends itself right into the home. And that's where God commands a blessing upon your children. He commands a blessing upon your home. He commands life to spring out of your home. Spring out of your very offspring. Life. Where there's unity and oneness. So again, let's be a marriage team. Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. God bless you.
Amen. The power of unity, oneness, is where the blessing flows. Praise God. Brother Mel, thank you for that word to us today. Appreciate that. I wonder how many teens we have here this morning. We have quite a few teens here today. And may we seek with all of our heart for that blessed unity and oneness where God commands the blessing to flow. And I would encourage us today that if you have things that you're wrestling with and struggling with, it's certainly worth dealing with it. Because usually if you try to just sort of pretend it's not there and ignore it, it doesn't go away by itself. So I think this message fits well with the first message, and that is through brokenness and humility and surrender. And when the team is broken and surrendered before the Lord, then that unity and oneness is way more likely and sweeter and blessed. It's when my selfishness gets in the way that hinders teamwork. So thank you, Brother Mel. Again, we want to just give opportunity for anyone to share. Maybe a word of testimony, word of encouragement, how you are flowing together as a team with your wife. Amen. That we can be edified together. Is there anyone have something to share? All right, there's a hand on the sister's side, out on the outside. Others, raise your hand so we can be edified together. All right.
Hello. I just want to say that I'm very, very blessed for the way God wanted marriage to look like, Christ and the church. And I praise God for my husband that he gave me miraculously, and just the way he has displayed the servanthood of Jesus and in helping me. You know, I wasn't used to seeing that growing up, a man helping his wife in the house and in whatever she needed. So I want to praise the Lord for that and thank my husband.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you for that testimony. Others, raise your hand. Go ahead.
I would just like to bless my husband today. I feel like through a lot of our marriage, there was a lot of strife and a lot of selfishness. We didn't have a good beginning. We weren't Christians when we got married. But I just like to say that in the last few years, God has just really brought our hearts together in a very beautiful way. And our marriage is better now than it's ever been. And my husband includes me and makes me feel like I'm a part. And he just really makes me feel like I'm a queen. He goes out of his way to just express his love for me in many different ways throughout the day. And it makes me... it just makes something rise in me to want to bless him and want to please him. And I just want to thank him today for just living out what God is showing him.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I didn't know my wife had her hand up. I guess one of the things I really, really enjoy is connecting with her spiritually. And often when we go to bed, we just start talking about the things of God. The light goes back on. The Bibles come out. You pray. Turn the light off. Talk some more about the things of God. The light goes back on. Find some scriptures. And I tell you, that is such a joy. That is such a joy. And it's not planned. It's just flowing. And I think that's what I feel like. That's the way it's supposed to be. I know it's good to plan times together, but I'm really thrilled at those opportunities to, you know, sometimes it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Not always, but it can be that. And I just rejoice that connection. We don't always connect, maybe in the things of life and just, you know, and understanding each other, but when it comes to God, we just, our ears perk up and we just love to edify one another. And she's my concordance. Where is this marrow? Where is that? And she just knows, helped me to find it real quick. And so I'm really blessed by that.
Praise God. Teamwork. Thank you for sharing that testimony. It's worth fighting for. Amen? It's worth dying for. Amen. We have an enemy who wants to destroy the work of God and the people of God. But we have a Savior and a mighty Deliverer who is almighty, who wants to give His people the kingdom of God and that unity and that oneness, so that we're on the same page in parenting, finances, everyday things of life. You know, many marriages get into places of contention or conflict over finances, on how to discipline the children, many areas of life. But when there's unity there, as we heard in the message where Brother Mel shared, that a young man shared how that he would have rather taken the discipline than to see the contention or the conflict between the parents when there was disunity on how to walk something out in a direction. So let us earnestly contend for the marriage that God has purchased for us at Calvary. Anyone else yet before we close the sharing time? Is there another hand somewhere? Okay.
I'd like to the God of heaven, I'd like to say praise the Lord for Mel, because I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today, and I struggle with a darkened mind, and I just like to get rid of that. And if you would pray for me.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. The men are pretty quiet today. I saw my needs, brother. Oh, to be like Christ, to be like Jesus. So practical in this everyday life. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.